This is Pastor Joshua Swilly, and you're listening to the Hope United Podcast. We pray that this message is a blessing to you.
It's good to be here with you today. I'm going to tell you how good it is to be with you here today. I got up at 2:30 this morning to be here with you today. And that's
and went to bed at 11:30.
and loved it. To be here with Pastor Josh and Pastor Corinne, my children, is the joy of my life. It's my favorite place to come in the world. You're my family. I adore you. I keep hearing such great reports. I watch church, and everything looks so good. I heard about the shower yesterday. Oh, my goodness. What a classy event that was. Oh, my goodness. Now I'm just going to work. I'm just going to work on... pronouncing my new grandchild's name, because I know it's going to be butchered incredibly the first time I try it.
I say it every morning in prayer. I know it.
You do it?
Mm-hmm. Ariella Eliana.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's exactly
right.
I was going to say. It was perfect.
Is it okay to say it publicly?
That's the way you do it. All children, that is not the way you do it. Okay. Okay, that's not you. You don't do it and then ask for me.
Sorry.
I would also just like to say to you, thank you for all your prayers and for so many of you who drove and flew all the way to Atlanta for my father's funeral. I cannot begin to explain what it meant to me to see you walk in the room. Overwhelming. And it was incredible. Thank you all. James and Minerva and your sister. And I shouldn't have started. All of you that did that. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm so sorry I wasn't here, Ada. I love him so much. And what a great man he was. Excuse me. What a great man he is watching down on us, having church with us today. Because I'm like always in the great cloud of witnesses. Because wherever we are in the world, at whatever time we are, Sunday gets the service on online. And we have church whenever possible, or then we do it later. But we're with you, and we love you. Let's see. Okay, reach up and touch your ears. Say, God, let me hear what the Spirit would say to me today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Okay, let's get the elephant out of the room. What did you do to your foot? Okay. Incredible lesson. I will tell you, the more you grow in God, it doesn't become a difference between good and evil. It becomes a difference between good and God. Somebody called me up. I will leave it to not to be said, and offered me over $100,000 to move to a house on the other side of town, so I could be closer to my mother and my brother. How many of you know that you're out riding your bike and somebody offers you over $100,000? How long do you have to pray about that? Well, the fact is, I didn't pray about that. I didn't, Eddie. I didn't pray about it. I just went, well, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, everybody. And so I went to look at the house, and I walked around the house. I walked to the backyard where the lake was, and then I started to walk back. And when I did, they had bush hogged the back ground, which means a large tractor pulling a lawnmower kind of thing had cut it down. So all the grass was about this high, and you couldn't see that there was anything other than a level ground, other than there was a hole about this deep. And I stepped in the hole. And being an athlete, I've turned my ankle 1,000 times. Don't we, Bill? You just walk it off, put it in ice, and then play the next day. It got worse the next day. The next day I couldn't put weight on it. Then I was in the hospital with it. And I said, God, you need to heal this. I have a lot of places I go to speak. And God says, no. You need to learn a lesson from this, because I didn't tell you to go there, so I can't bless you for where I didn't send you. Now, I don't know how that plays into your theology or not, but I can tell you something. I didn't supposed to be there. 2 days later, the offer was completely rescinded. It was not even an offer in the first place. The house was not even available in the first place. It was a waste of time, and this is a reminder. Pray and ask God before you go do something. Even as good as it looks, pray before you go. Do you want me to go? All right. I want to teach you two principles today. All the scriptures and everything I will do is to tell you these two principles. All right. When I was with my dad, especially the last 9 months, and then really in the last 6 months when he found out he had stage 4 cancer in his liver and his lymph nodes and in his colon, every time I would go to be with my father, he was on a mission to make it count. There was a dream that came to me this past week, and I was walking ahead, and I looked back, and I was weeping uncontrollably, looking at my family and my great and my grandchildren. And in it, God showed me, I was saying to them, make it count. Over and over and over again, I said, make it count. Now, my dad's a great man, but let me tell you, his personality changed. His mission changed when he found out he was about to die. So that every time Josh Corinne, the grandchildren, came in the house, his great-grandchildren would come in the house, Dad was on a mission, wasn't he, buddy? He was on a mission. He said, come here, let me bless you. Come here and let me bless you. Let me lay hands on you. Let me tell you things that are significant. He knew he had a finite period of time, and he had to make it count. Well, let me give you a prognosis of your life right now. Unless Jesus comes back, you're going to die. How many times do you think that the person that you see, it could be the last time. Or the person in the grocery store that you see, it could be the last time. Do you make it count? See, it is a lifestyle, Pastor Pete. It is a lifestyle. If I'm going to worship, I'm going to worship. Make it count. If I'm going to love somebody, don't just love somebody. Love somebody. Let them know you love them. Let them know you care about them. Let them know how faithful of a friend they've been to you, how they've stood with you. You'll spin around and Pete Jr. won't be at the house anymore. Is that right? Every time you get a chance to sit in church with him, make it count. Make it count. I want to tell you, live a life where you make it count. this is the last message I ever preached at Hope. I want to make it count. Do you realize how you would delineate yourself from everybody else in your world if you live that way?
Yeah.
No. When you're having a business meeting and before a client leaves or something, and you just went, I just want to tell you thank you for the way you've done business with me. Thank you for always returning my call. Thank you for being such a great friend. What do you think that would do in your world? Make it count. Make it count. Make it count. Make it count. I watched my mother. There was a thing on Sonny's phone that, you know, it pops up a picture a year ago today. This was happening. And a year ago today, Dad came to the window of the car. I took a video that I sent to Esther. And it was Dad praying over her, Joshua Paul, the kids. And Dad said some incredible prophetic words to them. And every one of those prophetic words have come to pass. He made it count. So when my mother saw the picture on the phone, Sonny gave her phone back. And when my mom saw my dad's picture, him talking on video, she started kissing the phone. Because she wished she just had one more time that she could kiss him. One more time she could love him. One more time. Make it count. Make it count. Let me hear you say that. Make it count. Whatever I do, make it count. Whatever I do. See, this is so in me. I just want to go to every one of you that you've had such significant impact on my life. And just, I want to make it count. Second principle I want to teach you, then we're going to go to the Word. You can go ahead and turn to Jeremiah 1. I want to tell you that you must change your mentality of a lifestyle of warfare to a lifestyle of adventure. A lifestyle of warfare to a lifestyle of adventure, because every circumstance that you come in contact to is to expand your purpose. Every circumstance. Now, come on. You know, I'd love to just to tell you in your prayer time, in your devotional time, then as we get in there and then we open up to a whole new purpose. No. That's not why you have new purpose. All hell breaks loose. You're put in a circumstance that you're overwhelmed with, and all of a sudden, you realize a purpose that was in you that you didn't know you could do. You had to be in that. You didn't know you could sell computers, Bill. You didn't know. Then all of a sudden you got those contracts because some friends, and all of a sudden you're there. You found out stuff about you that God put in you before you were born. Okay. So every circumstance that comes your way, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. A righteous person's steps are ordered of the Lord. So where I go, I'm supposed to be there. Right, Joy? I'm supposed to be where I'm at. And what it's there to do is to awaken me to my expanding purpose. Everybody say expanding purpose. You don't know what you're called to do. You know what you're doing now. You don't know your expanding purpose. I'm telling you, Eddie, it's an expanding purpose. I never knew I could do certain things, even at 66, till I've been put in a circumstance and all of a sudden, oh, I could do that. I could do that. God knew that. Jeremiah 1, before 5, Jeremiah 1, 5. Before you were in your mother's womb. Before you were in your mother's womb. Now, here's who's working with me on the ladder. Who's going to actually climb the ladder? Okay. All right, Pete Jr., go up as high as you can. Go up as high as you can, realizing that you cannot fall because your dad's counting on you paying for his living the rest of his life. Well, that's awesome. When you were in heaven, before you were ever born, God said, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew everything about you. I want you to get this down. You are not at earth because of a great lovemaking session. The music was right. You had a little Barry White on in the background. The candles were there. And Corinne sashayed into the room. Man, how many people want your mind to be blown right now? Would you like your mind blown? Okay, would you like your mind blown? I found out how I was conceived 2 weeks ago. I know. I know that. Mom asked me, did I want to know? I said, no. She said, I'm going to tell you anyhow. Mom and Dad had been married for 3 years. They got married at 18. And so the men in my father's church started kidding him. They started saying, Wallace Swilly, I thought you were a man. You can't even have a child. What's wrong with you? If you were a real man, you would have a son. You're no man. And my dad was 21 years old. My dad comes home at lunch. And he says to my mother, do you know what all the men at the church are saying about me? I can't even foster a child. My mother and father both came from big families. They didn't want to have children. And my mother said, I'm going to give you one chance. Right here at lunchtime. I'm going to give you one chance. After that, no, the door's closed. Your window of opportunity is over. Baby, all it took was that. Here I am. Here I am. Make it count, Jessica. Jessica, you got one chance. Make it count. Okay, here's what I want to say. You never know who you are. I was sitting in the Cathedral of the Holy Spirit, 7,000 seat. No, this was in the case. I don't know where it was. When he was 6, 5, boys choir. Case Center. So this famous conductor came and made a boys choir at our church. And so Deborah and I are sitting on the front row and we're waiting and the boys choir starts to sing. And when they start to sing, Pastor Josh at 5 years old comes walking out to the microphone.
It does a solo.
And I went, What is he about to do? Is he going to introduce the song or what is he about to do? And it was one of those boys choirs, you know, where the song is way high and their little voices, none have gone through puberty and they're all voices super high. And he just gets up and just blows out this song, standing ovation. Here's what I want you to write down. The reason you came to earth is God needed something done on earth. And he sent you here to accomplish that assignment. No, no, you're not just here. You're here to do something great. Make it count. What assignments, period. Because you know, Psalms 119, his thoughts towards you or his directions towards you are more than the sands of the seashore. So you realize there's not one assignment. There's not one destination. There's scores of destinations. But when you were in your mother's womb, he not only gave you your purpose, he gave you your calling before you came. He said, Jeremiah, I've made you a prophet. He's not even born. You don't want to get to heaven and find out you had a bunch of callings you never used. You do not want to get to heaven and find out that you had a bunch of purpose you never even scratched the surface. If your life is sort of in an animated suspension, let me just tell you something. It's because he wants to expand your purpose. He not only up here gave you your purpose, your call, he gave him his assignment. He said, you will be a prophet to the nations. You're going to have an international ministry. Now, you get that, and then you come down. You come down. And the only time you really ever come down to earth is to do the assignment. And then whenever something starts to push you or press you or mess with you, what does it do? It presses you in prayer. It presses you in worship. It presses you in prayer. It presses you in worship. And then all of a sudden you get up there and go, no, no, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do these things. Because it was there, he formed your mind. Let this mind be in you, the mind of Christ. He imparted into your brain, he imparted into your brain all of these different things, all of these different things that when the circumstance presses you, quit rebuking it. It's an adventure. Pete Jr., would you play basketball if they only let you practice? No. Because church is practice. No, I love coming to church. And then you're like getting beat up out in the world. You never want to play. I hated practice. But baby, I love showtime. Yeah. Now, baby, when the people are in the stands and you've got your uniform on and people are going, ooh, ooh, he's so fine. Oh, I said, oh, you think I'm fine? Wait till you see what I'm about to do. Come on, Bill, you didn't love practice. No. But baby, did you love game time? Every Friday night in Dallas, Texas, game time. Game time. Now, was there a chance somebody was going to knock you out? Being a black quarterback on an all-white team? Yeah. Do you think there were some people on the other side that wanted to put you to sleep? And you know there were. Okay. Oh, it's so dangerous. I rebuked that. No, no, no. He didn't rebuke that. He said, bring it on. 43-89. See, if all you want to practice, you're no better than the Miami Dolphins. Yeah, that was a ruthless shot. But it's the truth. Maybe the worst team in the history of the NFL.
But they're our team. Okay. They're the worst team, but they're our team.
Oh, wait a minute. Excuse me. I live in Atlanta. I have a different team now.
There you go. I'm only visiting.
Okay, watch this. So, we understand. Oh, my goodness. Y'all come to the second service and I'll preach this message for you. Okay, lay down. Lay down. Jacob's ladder. Jacob's ladder. This was the guy every mother said, don't be like him. He's a lying, stealing, scheming, no honor of parents, boy. He steals his brother's destiny and then schemes with his mother on his father's deathbed. Can you imagine, Pastor Josh, me scheming with her as dad's dying? That's what he did because he had no conscience. He had so lost his purpose because up there, God had made him Israel. He had made him the model for what every young man and every young woman should be. What God's intention was for every mother to say, you need to be like Israel. For every daddy to say, you see that boy? Now that boy's something else. You need to be like him. But what happened in a moment? Can I tell you prophetically right now, there is never more a time that you should pray over your dreams than there is right now before you go to bed. You need to pray because there's certain things flesh and blood cannot reveal to you. You need to, then it arrives till you start seeing vision and you start seeing God in everything. You start watching a movie. I'm watching movies. We never get through a movie. I don't stop and go, did you hear what God's saying in there? Don't you see God? Don't you see that principle of the kingdom? We've got to bring that into our life. We have to make it count. Whenever God speaks to you, make it count. Do not let anybody define you or stop your growth or put a ceiling on you. And so he's there, and all of a sudden, in a moment of time, God comes down. And baby, the two yous have to wrestle. You understand that? The two yous have to wrestle. The you from here and the you from what you've evolved into. I want you to say this. My last day is going to be my best day. Now say it with confidence. My last day is going to be my best day. I'm going to make it count on that day more than any day. I'm building to that day. And I will allow my purpose to be expanded. They didn't know. I could, if I had time, I would take you through different circumstances in their lives, your pastor's lives. They didn't know they could do it till the circumstance pressed you to do it. There was a few months ago, Pastor Josh called me up and Carol said to me, Dad, I got it. He said, now I know how you preach funerals. Because there is no place to win people to the Lord like funerals. That's showtime. It's now you don't become abusive, but you know how to tell the truth. Oh my goodness. People are open. I would send Carol. I said, Carol, find out every detail of their life. I would be doing funerals of people I'd never met before. And when I got through doing the eulogy, people would go, man, you must have been his best friend. My purpose is to do funerals. I didn't know that until I had to do a suicide funeral as a young minister. I said, God, what am I going to say? He said, before you were born, you had the purpose to do this. Before you were born, you had the purpose to do this. Before you were born, I moved back to Atlanta. When I moved back to Atlanta, I started uncovering this year all kinds of purposes I never even knew I had. Because the circumstances pressed me. Instead of me rebuking it, I went on an adventure with God. Instead of rebuking it, I went on an adventure with God. How do you know? When I ask you this, Candy, who do you see? Oh, you were just so smart. You were so smart. Move to the head of the class. Genesis 1:25 through 28. You were created in his life. This solves every self-esteem issue in history. Oh, I don't like the way I look. I don't like who I am. Who do you see? You look like your daddy. I mean, your daddy. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God created us in his image. We are responsible to raise our children in his image. And it's not what you look like on the outside. Because he does not look like me on the outside. But baby, on the inside, come on, Pete. It's 100% Wallace Dwayne Swilly and Deborah Lynn Swilly. He created us in his image. We create our children in his image. And I'm going to tell you something. At the end of Jeremiah, about almost at the end of Jeremiah 1, I love this scripture, Eddie. It's so powerful. It says, he watches over his word to perform it. So anybody, come on, Jess, that picks up his word and starts to believe in his word, God watches over his word that he will perform everything it says it will do. God's watching over his word in your life. Don't think he's forgotten. He watches over his word. Now, this is the thing that gets me. In there at the end, when he talks about all the things he's going to do, let me say this. Okay, here we go. Verse 10. Now, here's what passive Christians do not want to do. See today, I have appointed you over nations, over kingdoms. Now, watch this. There's four things you got to tear up before you can build and plant. See, we want to just accept things the way they are. No. The prophetic word you gave this week was exactly right. If we sit by and allow certain things that are popular politically and seem to be the right thing to do, our kids don't know what's normal anymore. They think the mess they see on TV and the mess that's taught in their school is normal. That's not normal. That's sin. That's perversion. Somebody, he says, now here's what I want you to do. Number one, I need you to uproot some things because there's some seeds that have been planted in your life, in your children's life. Today, you need to pull that up by the root. Not just chop it off where it's going to grow right back. Pull it up. He said, number two, tear it down. If the enemy's tried to build something on your territory, build it. Tear it down. Make it count. You don't play with spirits. They're about to do a series, right? Pastor Josh, Pastor Corinne, on deliverance. You don't play with spirits. They know if they're in charge. You want to know in the history of hope? Some people that go back, Cassandra, some of y'all go way back. And how many times you've seen spirits caught up at Hope? Huh? None of that stuff. Because they know spirits know I'll jack you right now in Jesus' name. You try to bring that stuff in God's house, I'll take you out. Oh, I wish I could in the NLV. You know the scripture, the violent take the kingdom and they take it by force. Oh my goodness. I'll teach it next service. All y'all just stay. We'll go at it again. I want you to uproot. I need you to tear down. I need you to destroy stuff. Destroy. Let me just tell you something. Back in the early 1900s, people like Charles Finney would have a revival in a town and every bar would close down. The all evil place, just shut up. I could tell you a time in New York City in the late 1800s, a man started doing a prayer meeting by himself in the boiler room of a church because they wouldn't heat the church up for prayer. And he got some people down and crime ceased in New York City. There was a period of years where the policemen made into gospel quartets because there was no crime to deal with. There was no work to do. Needs to destroy some things and needs to overthrow. Overthrow. Then you build and plant. You can't build on top of an old house. You got to demolish that thing. You got to tear it up. If there was a basement, you got to dig down and tear that up. And then you build on the rock, Christ Jesus. And then the good news. I'll jump to the end. The end of the story is there where he says, look today, verse 18. I've set you up as a fortified city. I want you to say, he's talking about me. No, I don't believe you. He's talking about me. An iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, the princes of the priests, against the people of the land. Although they will fight against you, verse 19, they will not win. For I am with you to deliver you. It's the declaration of the Lord. Now, what we have to learn to do is make sure our declarations are the same as his declarations. You can get a list of declarations and scream them till you get a sore throat and you can't talk, you get laryngitis. No. Your declarations have to match his declarations. Because when he declares a thing, every morning I hear that woman get up and start declaring over every child. You're not here for you. You're here for your children. You're here for your grandchildren. You're not here to do you. The selfish society. You're here to set up your legacy because you're building a nation. A nation is coming out of you. Declaration. Come up here, baby. Stand up. I want to lead you in some I want Deborah Parfit to lead you in some declarations right now. Stand up, but don't just say it because she's saying it. She's saying it because the Lord has it in his word to say it, and we're doing it in the spirit. And when we say it, it's they won't win. We win. They won't win. We win. Again, they won't win. We win. All right, here we go, Deborah.
Thank you. Every morning I start by covering my children and then I start declaring who they are. And I call their names, but I say, and I want to say it like it's me and you repeat it. I am the called of the Lord.
I am the called of the Lord.
I am strong and powerful in His might.
I am strong and powerful in His might.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
I put on the whole armor of God.
Put on the whole armor of God.
I put on the whole armor of God over each and every one of my children.
I put on the whole armor of God over each and every one of my children.
I am the healed of the Lord.
I am healed of the Lord.
I walk in divine health.
I walk in divine health.
I am strong and courageous.
I am strong and courageous.
I am a mighty woman of God.
I'm a mighty man of God.
I release the prophetic over my children.
I release the prophetic over my children.
I release the Holy Spirit over my children.
I release the Holy Spirit over my children.
All the gifts of the Spirit are active over my children.
Are active over my children.
I bind my children to you, Lord.
Bind my children to you, Lord.
They are the head and not the tail. They are above and not beneath.
They are above and not beneath.
They are mighty in you.
They are mighty in you.
They are yours.
They are yours. Okay.
I can go on.
Now there's two groups. There's two groups of people here. Close your eyes. How many of you would say, I've become too passive? There's things that are in my life, in my world, in my family that I need to come against. I need to make it count. I need to make it count. Raise your hand if I'm talking to you. You know I'm talking to you. Come down. Make a step and come forward. Let's go. Make a step and come forward. How many of you realize as I talked? Come on down. Come close. How many of you realized as I talked, you realized that you see your life as warfare and you want God to change your mind into the spirit of adventure? It's an adventure with God. The greatest challenges are an adventure with God. How many of you know that you see life as a lot of warfare? Raise your hand. Okay, come. We're going to stop that today. We're going to stop that today. Spirit of adventure, come close. Come. Come on in. All the ministers, prophets, pastors, y'all all come around. People that work at the altar, just be all around them. All around them. All around them. I'm telling you, make it count. Every day, make it count. Make it count. That's why you're still alive when you should have been dead 30 years ago. You're alive because you decided to live a lifestyle of making it count. Make it count. Make it count. Make it count. You can't die till your purpose is fulfilled. You cannot die till the God purpose is fulfilled in your life. You cannot die. I cannot die. And I'm not withering. I'm going to go out strong. Last day, I'm going to be doing push-ups. We're going to say, how you feel? I feel great. Bishop's doing great. I'm up 150, 160. I'm up there. Yes. I declare that over me. I declare that over you. No. How many of you know that there's passiveness? If God's involved, Sandra, there's urgency. If God has spoken, there's urgency. God doesn't speak something and they're not urgency. That's right. He would never share an elevated purpose unless it was time for you to do it, or he would be teasing you. You know what? I just feel Pastor Josh, Pastor Corinne, Eddie Dennis, Pastor Pete. I want those of you that are ministers, I need you to come up here and just put your hands out. Extend them over the people. Extend them. That's right. That's right. Yeah. At least here. Extend them. I need it to be all around. Yes, yes, yes. Like that. Like that. Like that. I need you to extend it. This is not, this is going to work because it's the will of God. It's the will of God. It wasn't about football, Bill. It was about having a tenacity in your life that you would let nobody say you can't do it. You're on assignment, D. You're on assignment on this earth. God said, nobody can handle that thing but you. So I'm sending you there. And when you get there, you go, oh my goodness. And then you'll discover gifts you have you never thought you had. And then you'll go, oh my God, my God, my God, my God. And then God will say, here's an assignment, 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 here's an assignment. How many of you were passive? You were passive. Lift your hands, because it's ending today. It ends today. It ends today. It ends today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I make a declaration. We, as the ministers of this house, we make a declaration. We will not be passive anymore. When God says to say something, you will say it. When God says for you to tear something down, overthrow something, you will tear it down and overthrow it. Because it's time to build things and plant things for the kingdom of God. I want you to say it. I'm not passive. I'm not passive. Whatever I do, I make it count. And then get somebody like this. Face them and go, I am going to make it count. I don't, with whatever. Whatever, with my children, my grandchildren, great grandchildren, I'll make it count. Every situation in my marriage, I'll make it count. Every time I'm together with where I'm on assignment. You're not anywhere that you're not on assignment. I will make it count. Make it count. I will make it count. Lift your hands up and say, I receive that. I receive that. I receive that it's time to make it count. Make it count. Make it count. No waste of time. No waste of time. No waste of time. No waste of time. Grab somebody's hand, lift it up high. We are going to make it count. At Hope, we are going to make it count. We're going to make it count. We're going to make it count. We're going to make it count. Make it count. Number two, how many of you are here and you believe that, your life is just filled with warfare? Raise your hand. Your life's filled with warfare. Okay, I'm going to tell you something. That's a lie. I would never subject my children. I love you, son. And what I'd like to do, because I love you so much, I'd like just to throw you in some warfare every day. Would you think I'm a good father? Now, do you think I would send him into some difficult situations so he could discover who he was? Oh, sure I would. Sure I would. I would never send him into a situation, though, I didn't know he could win. Right? He'll let nothing come your way too hard. So I want you to say, thank you for every adventure. I'm not calling it problems. I'm not calling it warfare. I'm calling it adventure. I have this, like David, I have the spirit of adventure. And God, if you be for me, who could be against me? Who could be against me? You are watching over your word in my life that everything shall happen. Everything that has happened with your son is to increase your faith. It has made you so strong. That any couple that comes to you and goes, ooh, I have this with my child. You just look at them and go, well, no, this is just to increase your purpose. This is just to increase your purpose. This is just to increase your purpose. Whatever you've gone through. I was there the day Joy, where's my little baby? Joy was coming to church, got in a car accident. Her only child was killed. Do I believe God did that? Absolutely not. Do I believe that the enemy tried to destroy you with that? Absolutely. But I looked at your worship today. I looked at your worship today. The depth of your worship. The depth of your resolve. The depth of your authority. The depth of your power. He has increased your purpose. Increased your purpose. I'm just telling you, Sandra, he's increasing your purpose. He's increasing your purpose. I can tell you that right now. I can tell you right now. He's increasing your purpose. Merlan, he's increasing your purpose. Everything that you're going through, everything that's pushing you and pressing you, it's just to show you Oh, I can win that. I can do that. I can do this. I can do that. I can do the other thing. You're about to see such expanded purpose in your life. I'm talking about expanded purpose. You're going to see things. See, you know a lot of things. You're multi-gifted. But you're going to find some things about yourself you never knew about yourself. And I'll take my assignment by force. Yep, you're going to, yeah. My time is up. I'm violent. No. I want you to say, I'm on an adventure with God. He would never let anything happen to me that didn't increase my purpose. So every day, I'm going to do what? Ooh. Yeah, hope always understands. Every purpose. Pete Jr. started praying for you when I came in. I just want to tell you this. Your mom and dad are the ones that can judge this word. But the school that you finally choose to go to, there will be purpose to it. You'll be sent there on purpose, and it will enlarge you. When I went as a Division I college athlete to Georgia Tech, I knew no other Pentecostal boy in a secular college. And I knew people all over the world. There was no other Pentecostal boy I knew that was a Division I athlete. So my purpose was to show a speaking, tongue-talking Christian could go on an atheistic campus like Georgia Tech, and I could get 39 out of the 40 guys on my track team to come to my Bible study because I didn't know I could do it till I was thrown in it. Oh, I was created to do this. David, you'll never know. Baby, you're about to find out things about yourself you're going to love. You're going to love. You're going to love. I can slap all of your hands, but I'm just telling you something. You're on an adventure. All right, I'm sorry. Okay.
Amen. Amen. God is good. If you will, just return to your seat really quick. We're going to try to turn this around really quick because I know we got another group of people that want to come and receive from the Lord today as well. Can we give a big hand for Apostle?
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Please consider planting a seed in this ministry. Any seed helps us get the gospel message out to those that would otherwise not hear it. If you want to give, please click the link below in the episode notes. If you're in the area, come visit us in Pembroke Pines, Florida. May God bless you, and may you possess the promise God has for you.